This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland. Are you listening?
In the
snow is glistening.
Yeah, the snow is glistening in the East Coast. And wouldn't it be great if that was next week, because it would dump on everybody on Christmas Eve. But it is a messy, snowy storm that slammed into the Northeast. Sadly, though, 5 people died and planes slid off a taxiway. They had one big one that did that. Pretty cold blast of air, overnight freezing. So that's the other big concern. I've talked about that probably too much on this show. Of all the conditions that you can face in the winter, black ice, sliding, slipping all over the place, your hands gripping the wheel, little beads of sweat start to come down the side of your face because you're a nervous wreck as you're on the freeway and you're just praying seriously that you get there because you had no choice. You had to go. So snow inches depended on what city that we're talking about. New York City, for example, Central Park got slammed with 10 inches of the white stuff, 9 at LaGuardia. See, even there it varies. And New Jersey, 11.4 inches of snow. In Boston, they had a record 12.5 inches of snow. Hartford, Connecticut. Boy, I like Connecticut. Got a lot of people listening to us in Connecticut. That capital city for Connecticut recorded 12.5 inches just before noon on Thursday. Philly got less than they were predicting, 6.6 inches. Baltimore, 8.5 inches. But only 3.8 inches had fallen in the city of Baltimore by early on Thursday, so that's pretty interesting. And check it out. Washington, D.C., ready for this? 1 inch of snow. Now, some places in Virginia, 2.5 inches of snow. So you get it. It is a winter wonderland, but it wouldn't have been great if it had been the following week. Although the snowstorm delayed vaccine deliveries, and that's the bummer of that. The New Jersey governor was talking about it. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us on this show. Always a pleasure to have you. I am not in the middle of that wonderland of wicked snow. The satellite facility is in the DFW area, and of course the mothership in a very chilly Minnesota, but not a lot of snow right there where the hub is. So the pandemic, unfortunately, just throws that double dose of everything at you. And Governor Phil Murphy from New Jersey said, keep social distancing, keep face coverings on, help your neighbors. And they did have some delays with vaccine deliveries. You've got, you know, those intensive care units and emergency departments that are already just crushed, especially in Jersey with COVID-19 cases. Several big cities, New York, Baltimore, Hartford, shut virus testing sites down because of the heavy snow and the wind. They knew that just was not going to happen. And so the storm is delayed, as has delayed a couple of things. But it will get there, and it'll just be a little bit later. I mean, that's what the problem is. Any school districts that were open, they were closed Wednesday and Thursday because of the storm. Most were doing some online learning if they could. This is the new norm anyway. But for those that were not closed, they absolutely closed. So this is pretty interesting because, in a sense, you know, we look at what we've seen the last couple of years, and they hadn't seen snow like this, really, to hit that mid-Atlantic area that badly since 2016. Not that there hadn't been snow and whatnot last winter and the winter before that or late fall. But you know, now it's this just this right in there with 2016. So a lot of people feeling their bones, feeling a little bit cold. Right from the get-go, I feel like I have to warm you up a little bit and tell you that the good news is it does look indeed like, you know, there's that bipartisan deal that's going to happen. So it'll be weeks from now, but if you're eligible, you will get a stimulus check. It's not official, but it's really, really that close, and this isn't a tease. The White House actually wanted more. So the White House, especially President Trump, wanted $2,000 checks. You know, he wanted that it to be at least $1,200 a person and maybe as big as $12,000. But congressional leadership is really preparing for a stimulus package that would provide a check of $600 a person, so less than last time. And, you know, Trump was wanting those larger payments when the White House told him, White House officials told him, that if he did that, it would absolutely imperil the delicate negotiations, because look how long this has taken for this economic relief package. $900 billion. So larger stimulus checks, the ones that the president wanted, would have pushed it too far over for what they were, what was being discussed. So that was that. Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, remember earlier in the month, released a plan that would have sent no additional stimulus checks. So I guess there is that. So there will be checks that weren't necessarily going to be there if it had gone in a different direction. If you're counting on that money that can help you a little bit, well, then there you go. You're going to get that little bit of coin that could push you, you know, in the right direction, because it's obviously very tough. It's tough with COVID. We already know that. This is nothing new. Another rough day, 12 straight days of some of the worst numbers that we've seen with COVID, the hospitalizations at a record high in the U.S. So more than 114,200 people hospitalized. This is the COVID tracking project, by the way, where I'm getting these statistics, because I look at them all over the place, and this is a very accurate way to look at it. So the United States, which started distributing and using those first vaccines, as you know, earlier in the week, we're dealing with these record number of daily cases and daily deaths. The good news is Moderna is in, not that we didn't know that. So Pfizer, Moderna, they're both there. That's the good news, because that's another vac that is coming right behind the Pfizer vaccine. And you know, there you go. The advisory panel, pretty much right there. They're almost right there. They're going to meet on Saturday, in fact, to just completely give that okay and burn through this, which, again, is really good, because you see the cases in one day. You know, the record cases, 247,000 plus on Wednesday. Wow. And the deaths, the average, the total on Wednesday, 3,656 was a one-day high. I mean, we know I could go through these numbers backwards and forwards, and you know they're all going to be very, very ugly, ugly numbers. That's the sad part for sure. Coming up next, that fight in Georgia, one Democrat's perspective on why it's happening and how serious it is. Stay with us.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
This is sponsored by Amazon. Gather around the table to enjoy your favorite home-cooked meals, featuring ingredients from Amazon Grocery and Amazon Fresh. With the online acceptance of SNAP EBT benefits, Amazon customers can purchase the grocery items they need to recreate family recipes or make new mealtime traditions at home. Christina Herman, Amazon spokesperson, discusses the meaningfulness of home-cooked meals.
Amazon understands the value of cooking fresh meals at home, making memories, and creating traditions with family. SNAP recipients can save time with convenient home delivery from Amazon Fresh and Amazon Grocery so they can spend it where it really matters.
Customers paying with SNAP EBT on Amazon also have free access to Amazon Fresh and fast and convenient same-day grocery delivery with the added bonus of having attended or unattended delivery. To find deals and exclusive discounts for SNAP customers and learn more about the program, visit Amazon.com/SNAP.
Ricky was a young boy. He had a heart of stone.
Because COVID relief is on the ballot. Access to jobs, access to justice, and there's a very stark contrast between the candidates. We have Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, who profited off of the pandemic, who refused to stand up to Mitch McConnell and demand action on COVID relief as we head into a moment where Georgians face 160,000 evictions. We've had 4.1 million job loss claims. One in four businesses, small businesses, have shut down during this pandemic, and David and Kelly have done nothing. In fact, they have done nothing but cater to Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump instead of fighting for Georgia.
All right, so Stacey Abrams, one of the go-to people as a lead Democrat, politician, lawyer, etc., you know her story, her background in Georgia, gets asked often about what's happening with the runoff there. She was on the CBS Morning News show with Gayle King, and you heard what she had to say about the Democrats' point of view, especially with COVID and the changes. So early voting, the reason you're hearing from Stacey Abrams is because early voting in Georgia counties have happened. I mean, that's happening. So the polls are up, and the two runoff elections on January 5th will determine, this is early voting again, will determine which party controls the Senate. That's how big this is. It is bigger than big. This is Christmas for the Republicans or the Democrats. And do the incumbents win it? That the incumbents that Abrams just trashed for her reasons, or do the do the two Democratic candidates win it? And like I said, money beyond belief is being pumped into Georgia. And the way some of the advertising, male strippers are urging Georgia voters to get your poll to the polls. Ooh, that's nasty. I've heard of advertising, but that is bad advertising. But anyway, signs everywhere, you know, the whole thing. Massive television, massive radio, and early voting. There were a lot of people lined up to get there. So it's going to be really tough, I think, to tell. You know, if I was a weather vane, the normal direction I would have pointed in down there is at least one of them, maybe Perdue, wins his Republican seat, you know, retains it. But it's such a different year because this is a state that went in a different direction. This is a state that flipped for Biden and flipped for the Democrats. And I think it's really, really hard to know for sure, to make any kind of an educated guess on. And that's why watching what's happening early is big. You know, and federal judges in Georgia rejected a pair of Republican lawsuits to restrict absentee voting ahead of next month's Senate runoffs, the first, I think, in a long line of an effort to change voting rules for future elections following the president's loss in 2020. The thing about Senator David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, the two Republican candidates in the runoffs, they both said in a joint statement last week that their lawsuit was aimed at reasonable and actionable steps they can take immediately to further ensure the integrity and accuracy of the January 5th elections. So far, more than 378,000 voters have returned votes through absentee ballot, and more than 846,000 absentee ballots have been mailed out to voters but haven't been returned. So that's slightly fewer, just slightly, than at the same point in the general election. But a large number of people have voted early in person since voting sites opened this week, and the Democrats have high absentee ballots, and the state Democratic Party has already begun canvassing to help educate voters on the absentee process and, you know, curing ballots. So, you know, there you go. The you look at Georgia, and the Secretary of State and the governor, of course, are Republicans, Brian Kemp, and two Republicans who the president endorsed in 2018. So it's the weather vane is turning in a lot of directions. That's what I would say. And no matter who I talk to in Georgia, and trust me, we've had lots of people on the show from Georgia. And I spent many, many, many weeks last year in Georgia. So watching this, I was very surprised about the election, as were the Democrats, as were the Republicans, and so many other people, because it just didn't seem that was going to happen. And sure enough, it did. That's why you can't necessarily think you have something in the bag and then it's not. And that's, I think, was one of the big surprises coming out of the general election. So now trying to, you know, throw darts at a board and figure it out is pretty much where we're at. But it is very big. And it's so big because of the balance of power. I mean, what directions does it go? Do the Republicans retain it, or do the Democrats? If the Democrats do, they have a full deck, because they would have the White House, they would have they'd have Congress, and they would have the Senate, and that can be pretty potent. And of course, if there was a situation of the tiebreaker, which that happens, that's why how they would have it. Then they would have Kamala Harris, who is that tiebreaker. That's why the two seats are so important. But I don't have to explain that to this smart audience. You get it. But somebody said to me today, do you have a hangover from politics? Are you tired of politics? And the answer is no, in the sense that the reason we talk about lots of things here on this show, because I think it's about the buzz. I don't think I know. It's the buzz in my backyard, in your backyard. What do we want to talk about? Let's have the conversation. And the conversation is partially about what is happening in the country, what's going on with elections, what's going to happen in Georgia, because it's important. The people who represent you are the people who are either picking your pockets or they're helping to increase what's in your pocket. and they're looking out for your interest or their self-interest. I mean, I think it really comes down to that. And in the end, that's why this relief package ordeal is so big, because really there are people who just so need that little bit of leg up. And to me, that's, in this scenario, trying to make a deal for that is so important. And it's a win. I mean, it's a win all the way around, by the way, if it happens. So when the president leaves office, and I'll throw this out here too, and I've gotten some emails on it, Snowden, and because if you've been quarantined, Snowden is one of the movies that keeps popping up because people who didn't watch it in the theater are finding it and they're watching it now. So you have Senator Rand Paul urging the president to pardon Snowden. Writing in The Federalist, he said that the president has served as a libertarian president and should continue that tradition by issuing a pardon to the 37-year-old who's been living in exile to escape federal prosecution. And he added that it's important to remember that Snowden leaked information about unconstitutional spying and was motivated to do so after watching Obama's Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, lie about it under oath. He said Clapper lied to Congress multiple times, along with participating in many unconstitutional endeavors, including spying on Americans. Oh, yeah, we know that. And participating in the Russian hoax, he said. He lied in 2013. He lied again during the Russian investigation. So I don't know. There are some that don't agree. Senator Lindsey Graham, he tweeted out, he said, you're suggesting President Trump pardon a traitor. Ed Snowden's not a victim. He has American blood on his hands and should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. So in this tug of war, what do you think? Should Snowden be pardoned or no? Is he a traitor and tough tiddlywinks? Too many people suffered because of the leak of documents. And there's no good way to cut around that. I mean, that did happen. But it's your point of view and the eyes that you see it with, whether it was terribly wrong or okay. Because I'm just going to say, okay. So the push is to pardon not just Snowden, but also Julian Assange. Think WikiLeaks. Talk about leaking. Wonder what he decides to do. There hasn't been conversation from him on it, but conversation swirling around him, because these are two high-profile cases and stories, if you will, and imagine if he pardons both of them, Assange and Snowden. Meet you on the other side.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Duraki.
An FDA advisory panel has recommended that the agency issue an emergency use authorization for Moderna's coronavirus vaccine. The committee voted 20-0 Thursday, with one abstention, to send the recommendation on to the FDA, which is expected to quickly give its approval, allowing the company to begin shipping millions of doses of its vaccine. Dr. Francis Collins says today's vote was the end of an impressive journey. The head of the National Institutes of Health tells CNN that it's a testimony to the partnership between Moderna and the NIH.
Well, it's an amazing testimony to the incredible science that has been carried forward by teams of people at NIH, in industry, academic scientists, all working together, not worrying too much about who got the credit, pulling out all the stops, figuring out how to get rid of some of the dead time that often vexes these kinds of developments, and doing in 11 months what normally takes about 10 years.
This is USA Radio News. Calls are growing among congressional Republicans for a special counsel investigation into the overseas business dealings of President-elect Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Many are citing the national security risks that could come from possible Chinese influence on Biden. The president-elect said Thursday that he's not concerned about the accusations against his son. Hunter is currently under investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware for issues with his taxes. For his part, President Trump tweeted on Thursday that he would have nothing to do with a potential prosecution of Hunter Biden. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul doesn't think a special counsel is necessary, but tells Fox News that President-elect should leave current U.S. attorneys in place in order to complete a federal probe.
Traditionally, when a new president comes in, they fire all the U.S. attorneys. If he wants to show that this is going to be an upright, upstanding Biden administration and that they're going to actually let the cards lie where the cards lie on Hunter Biden, he needs to leave that U.S. attorney in place.
This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
No attorneys to plead my case. No OAS to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true with diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now.
And she gave me a list of 114, which was, I believe, $7,600. So I paid the account on those folks. Hopefully they can take that money they were worried about paying on a utility bill and put food on the table or buy some Christmas gifts.
Wow. I mean, can we drop the mic right now? Crazy. Mike Esmun. What an incredible gesture from Gulfstream, Florida. If you haven't heard the story, he paid off $7,600 worth of outstanding utility bills. He was talking about that for 114 of the neighbors who were facing cutoff deadlines. We're going to just cut them off. Yeah. So due to his generosity, and he's done things like this before, this was incredibly meaningful. Due to his generosity, like he said, might be Christmas gifts, money they need, all that sort of stuff. And what I loved about this guy, and his story's now, I think, coming out all over the place, is that he wasn't looking for credit. He wasn't looking to get all this coverage, but it started to leak out, and it was such a good story that, you know, organizations, news organizations, wanted to put it out there. So check this out. Yes, people are struggling. They're sweating it. I mean, they're sweating the bills. Don't want to walk to the mailbox. Don't want to get a letter that puts them out. The pink letters, the deadly pink letters. You know what I'm talking about. Because I bet every one of you has had, at one point in your life, you got a pink letter. Even if you just messed up and you didn't pay something. It's awful. So he owns this company, a pools and spa company. And he said it was so crazy that he felt guilty, really, that people were so screwed during financially, during the pandemic. But for him, economically, things soared. So he knew he was going to do something to help people and didn't. And when he found out that's what was going on, that's what he decided he was going to do. So, yeah, he made headlines. He didn't care about that, though. He didn't, you know, people called him from all over the place. But he didn't want any of that. He just, he wanted to, he wanted to do something to help the community that he loves and that gave him such a good year, an incredible, like, record year for him. So 36 families don't have to worry about the past due utility bills. Way to go, Florida man. The good Florida man. He is. He's the good Florida man. I love that. I love it. It may be our best mic drop moment of the year. Because it would be shocking, right, to find out that as you're, again, sweating out the pink notice, to find out that it's been paid. Not anybody want any credit for it, but it's been paid and you're not getting cut off. Because utilities get cut off, it's the worst. I mean, you can't do anything with that. And then you got to pay the fee to put them back on. So then you're doubly stuck if you're staying, of course, where you are. So anyway, bravo to Mike Esmond. And bravo to all of you, too, as well, because many people, and I'm going to talk about some of those next week. Many people have written me to tell me some of the things that people in their communities have done to help others. And one thing about COVID is we all miss that connection, some of that isolation everybody's feeling. And I love, 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 love that people in communities, big, small, large, rural, doesn't matter, are reaching out to help the neighbors that don't know. It doesn't matter. They're 10 miles away or whatever it is. But somebody needs something, and they help. And, that just warms my heart. That's the one thing all through the whole COVID deal for me that has been, I don't want to say astonishing, because I think Americans can pull together no matter what differences there may be, politically speaking or otherwise. And so as much as we've seen some things that you just shake your head, you know, we can absolutely all agree that bravo to Americans for helping out fellow Americans way more than you ever even know, because you don't hear the story. So I want you to hear those stories. And I say this all the time. Everybody has a story. What's yours? So we're going to find out what some of those stories are. A couple of quick hits, I like to call them, things that are kind of interesting. People ask about Bitcoin all the time. And people used to call the show and ask about Bitcoin. So what's interesting, Bitcoin topped 20,000. I mean, that's a milestone. That's a surge. And it's blown past that, and it's hitting all these highs because investors are flocking to cryptocurrency. I interviewed Steve Forbes a couple of years ago, right when my book came out, because Forbes published it. And that's not name-dropping you. It's just telling you that I like the way he looks at flat taxes, and I asked him about that. And then I asked him about what did he think about blockchain, and what did he think about Bitcoin. And he liked what the other side of blockchain, the fact of the what you could do securing the cybersecurity on the other side of it, but not Bitcoin. He said there's nothing backing it. So you look at Bitcoin and the people that have invested in, hey, by the way, made some money on it, especially in the early days. But prices topped 23,000 early on Thursday morning. So it's been on a tear this year. And other cryptocurrencies have been attractive to investors, too, as the dollar, of course, has weakened. So how much of a mainstream appeal is there? And the answer is right now there's much more appeal for historically people who were not in the game, we'll call it, right? If enough people start to see Bitcoin as a viable gold alternative, which is what Steve Forbes said to me, no way does that happen. That changes the game, and I don't see it either. But I do see that people, like I said, who got into this early or who hit something right make some money off of it. There's no question about that. But I don't see it as at all as viable to gold. I don't see it. I don't see that at all toppling it. It is interesting, though. It is interesting that there's been some conversations about it, and there's been some people that have, again, jumped all over it and made some money in what would have been a risky, crazy kind of investment to wrap your head around in the early days in particular. Because isn't that always the way? You get in early, and then you get out, and, you know, that's how it goes. It's, if you think of the collapse of the stock market collapse, oh, what year am I thinking of? I want to say 2008. And you think of the internet bubble bursting, etc. And that's, to me, those are examples of that. By the way, speaking of bursting the bubble, the Raiders had their bubble burst again. How about the Chargers? The Chargers sneak in, and they do sneak in for a game-winning touchdown on Thursday Night Football, if you care. And in overtime, they beat the Raiders 30-27. And it's interesting. The one moment from that game, I just saw little pieces of it, but the one moment I took from the game, and it is a very big faux pas, could almost be a mic drop moment, but I think mic drop moment this time around was perfect because it's just jaw-dropping what Esmond did, but Mike Esmond, but John Gruden, who is the $100 million coach for the Raiders, was wearing the wrong Raiders hat in the first half against the Chargers. He had a Raiders hat that said Oakland Raiders. Now, like, did someone hand him that hat and it said Oakland on it? Was he just going old school for effect? I mean, it had to have been an accident, right? Because, you know, people in Oakland, it was really a big sting when they decided to move to Vegas. But he was strutting around on the sidelines with the Oakland Raiders hat. So I just have to believe that that was accidental for whoever gave it to him, or if he had that lid somewhere and he just put it on his head. You know, I don't know. But it was very strange. I have to say it was very strange to see him again on the sidelines with an Oakland hat. It's like those, you know, those every once in a while there'd be footage of somebody super famous band, rock or whatever, and they'd be in some place, like they'd be in L.A., and they would say, you know, we love you, San Francisco, or something to that effect. Did they be giving some love to the wrong city? And then you'd hear that chorus. I can't remember what group it was, but I was at one where that happened. And they'd get a chorus of awful boos. Because nobody wants to see whoever, the Rolling Stones, or because it was a throwback band. I say throwback because they've been around for a long time. Nobody wants to go to a concert, shell out big bucks, and then be stoked through the concert and then hear the "Hey, I love you" in the wrong city. I mean, no, that didn't float, and it didn't float very well in that case. If you like that analogy, let me put it that way. You know, you think of the price of eggs, and people are talking about how if you've gone to the market lately, you know, how the price of eggs has gone up a little bit. And I was just seeing this story about this Florida farm fire that killed 250,000 chickens. For Cal Maine. It's one of the country's major egg producers. Think of what that is. So I know because I've been there, and it includes Eglin's Best and Lando Lakes, and no injuries, but two of four barns on the property were destroyed, so a disaster for them. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I think that I've met somebody who talks more than me. At least she's been described as someone who started talking pretty much right out of the womb. Rhiannon Kay joins us, and she's written, just a compelling novel. A Rapture novel is actually the name of it. And Rhiannon, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this first. Have you always had the gift of gab and storytelling?
Yeah, I guess you could ask my mom that one, but I do remember as a very young child being able to just gab away and tell stories and whatnot. And then one day I had a story idea. This is one of my earliest memories. I had a story idea, and I was too young to write because I wasn't in school yet. And I ended up dictating it to my mom, and she wrote it down, and then I colored the animations for it.
Well, then it's perfect that you've written this novel. So what was it like putting the novel together? And again, Crescendo, a Rapture novel. What was it like pulling that story together?
Well, the opening scene was really easy, actually, which was – Where most of the time I struggle is with, like, trying to get that perfect opening scene, you know, like, I'll get, like, the ending or something, and then I ended up with the scene that opened it that actually closes it as well. So that was nice, 2-in-1. But that scene came really easily to me. Actually, the cliche of, you know, something coming to you in a dream, that kind of happened, and then I woke up and kind of worked my way around it, and I woke up with this really cool intro. And then I started writing, and I just kept going and kept going, and then I finally got to a place where my brain was like, no, you can't write anymore. And so I had to stop and actually write out an outline and then follow my outline throughout the rest of the book to be able to finish it.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this. You know, Chloe is the main character in the book, and she's music is her life, and she has her dream shattered. You know, she wanted to get into Juilliard, and she was, you know, rejected. So when that happens, and her life goes in a different direction, that takes the story in a different direction, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fun to watch that. It's fun to watch that journey. Is some of this from what you've seen around you? Some of this is based on moments in your life. You know, as we look at the character and we look at, like you said, you start writing, it flows, you can't stop writing. Where did all this come from? Partly your imagination and real life?
Definitely a combo of just whatever swirls around in my head. And then definitely some of it was based off, like, real life. Like, it's set in college, and college was the best time of my life. Absolutely loved college. I'm a musician. She's a musician. I'm a writer. Her love interest is a writer. So I kind of drew off things that I knew would work. My friend who read the book said, she's like, I can just imagine this being us at the University of Idaho. I'm like, yeah, kind of, because some of the campus names are made up from the university that we went to.
Right. It's funny. So, and you know, you talk about that, you went to Idaho, or we know you went to Idaho, and there are little, what I call, you know, sort of mile markers that you can see that. And you did get a degree in English creative writing and journalism and broadcasting. And what I think is really cool is that you also have a background in screenwriting. Would you like to see, like, this story or other stories that you do come to life on the screen?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how this would translate to the screen. I actually did the exact opposite for the next book in this series. I took a feature film that I had written and translated it into novel format. So I kind of know the process of going back and forth. I mean, I've had to write a screenplay from a book before for my MFA. So I know the process of doing that. It would definitely be interesting to see somebody doing it, but I don't know who I would trust.
I like that. I don't know who I would trust. So tell us more about the story. How do you want people to, I don't know, react or feel after they read your novel? Because picking a novel and reading a novel and getting lost in the story, from the writer's point of view, it's cool that I think that it's out there in the world and people will do that. But what do you hope they take away from it?
And the big takeaway from Crescendo is that there's somebody out there for everybody, no matter how dark and twisted of a past you have, because both Chloe and Jesse have pretty twisted pasts that should make them incompatible for anybody, and they just happen to stumble across each other. And just knowing that you're worth everything that you desire in your life, it's just something that I want people to come away with from this book, because there's nothing else stopping you but you. So you've just got to be able to realize that and then move forward with everything, and then I think things will start to fall in place.
I like that. That's a great place to end this and to tell people that you can get the book on Amazon. But I want a sneak peek of your next one. Can you give us just a little morsel of what's coming next?
The next one's called Releve. Sticking with the musical theme here, it is about a dancer who is a prima ballerina, and she kind of falls into the dark side after being kicked off the stage, and I can't give you any more than that.
All right, tremendous. Again, pick this one up, Crescendo, a rapture novel. You can get it, like I said, on Amazon. Thanks so much, Rihanna.
Well, thank you.
All right, so I love that story about the dream sequence. That's why, just like she was talking about, you know, Rihanna was talking about how things came to her, and her friend even said, well, that seems like we're, you know, we were in the dorm in school. And I was thinking about the thing that really
fuels me about stories and people telling stories. And I think it is so brave, in a sense, it's so brave when you have a story that's in you to get it out there. And I was looking at the statistics, and we look at last year, there were over 45.8 thousand writers and authors working in the United States. Now, that's working, right? That's up from the previous year and still a little bit higher than the figure that was recorded back in 2011. But see, the thing that's misleading is a survey that was done 2 years ago, I want to say, revealed that just 21% of full-time published authors made 100% of their income from books. The majority of writers pursue other writing-related activities on top of their book writing and other things that they do. But it still, to me, and that shows you, again, how difficult it can be. But not making the excuse, and you have the story and you have an idea and you're excited about it, but then you just never get to the part where you write it down. And I am so proud of all the authors that we've had from the United States and from other countries, really since probably the start of the year. I call them high impact authors. High impact because if you impact one person, if you tell one story that allows them to escape, especially during the pandemic, then you're doing a good thing. Because somebody got lost in your story. Somebody got lost in the way you weaved the novel, together. From how you hooked them at the start and you took them down to whatever was happening and then lifted them back up. And this does that. Crescendo, a Rapture novel, does do that. And I can't wait for her next one. But again, the fact that, okay, it's rattling around in my head, I'm going to do it. I do. You know, how many times people think, well, I have a book in me. Do you have a book in you? And to me, again, the bravest thing is doing it, finding the time to do it. I know somebody that's written 50 books, and that wasn't even full time. It was a big chunk of time, but not full time job. And the 50 books are impressive. Her name's Diana Boer, and actually she's been a guest on the show. 50 business books. But business books different from that escaping into the story, which you can do with Rhiannon Kay. Thanks so much. The music means that I got to dance off the stage. To all of you for listening to this hour of the show, remember, we're all in this together. Keep it tight, people.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.